The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 28th of February, 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Well, welcome back. It's Monday. That means you are tuned into this week's episode of The Bahamas. And so much has gone down in the last week. If you want to join the conversation, you could text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796, powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply, or you could call us at 323-623 or 36232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. Let me repeat that. That's 323-6232, 325-4316 or 325-4259. I'm going to go through the list of things that I have documented in this past week, and I've been watching, I've been observing. But before we get there, just a couple of housekeeping matters. I got to say happy birthday to a whole bunch of people. But let me start with happy belated birthdays to, first of all, Kefri Nash, from your family, from On the Clock, and from the Spot family. I want to say happy birthday. I was so pleased to hear in this morning's news a story about the flamingo breeding program, I think taking place at Adastra. I'm pleased to hear it. You know, I just feel less guilty. I in my flamingo cami all weekend, and I was trying to catch a flamingo for my good friend Kefri for her birthday. And so now I don't feel so guilty about teething flamingos. Anyway, happy birthday, Kefri. I want to say happy belated birthday to Akusa Maad, and congratulations on the release of your new book, Haley Stems the Tide. Happy belated birthday to Miss Harris Smith, art teacher extraordinaire. NOA, happy, happy Earth Day. I say happy belated birthdays to my cousins Gian, my nephew Justin, to Nahaja Black, we missing you still, to CB Moss. And then I got to say happy birthday today to Alexandria Wong, a leap year baby, Orchid Burnside, and my good, good neighbor, Mark Bethel. I hope you guys are having a good day. And, you know, police permitting, maybe I could catch everybody a flamingo for their birthday this week. Other housekeeping note. On the Clock has a WhatsApp account and group. On the Clock is looking for top stories and news events, and you can share them with us by adding 1-242-428-0719. That's 1-242-428-0719. Or you can join the On the Clock WhatsApp group by clicking on the invite link you'll find on the On the Clock Facebook account and page. That's right. On the Clock has a WhatsApp account and group. Please share your news, tips, and hot stories with us on WhatsApp at 1-242-428-0719. I got a text here that says, great show as usual, Miss Green. If we Bahamians have to be drafted to any war, I ain't going because I ain't fighting no war. I ain't start. Well, let me tell you what my idea, like how I formed my idea or ideas around nationality and national identity and belonging to a place. When the U.S. Invaded Iraq, when they went into Iraq, my housekeeper pulled all of us, me and my little sister, together to the TV and thought she thought this was something important that we should watch, right? And it was available to us to watch it. Certainly, she had to watch it. And this is when I realized, you know, how important war is, even if it's not in your country, it's not in your region, it's not like directly physically impacting you. You don't have to respond to sirens and the potential of bombs dropping around you or nearby. But even then, it is still important to pay attention to be concerned about what is happening with the lives of others around the world. It wasn't until I was much older that I realized how closely connected we all are, even across thousands and thousands of miles. But so my housekeeper gathered us to watch this news story, newscast. They were live covering the invasion of Iraq. And I said, Joycelyn, if Sir Lyndon Penland to tell you, you know, it's time to go to war, if war broke out, what you was going to do? And she looked at me and she said, child, if my prime minister, Sir Lyndon Penland, tell me it's time to go to war, I go in on the beach. She lived in Andrus, you know, when she was younger. I collect in every conch shell, bottle, rock, piece of arsenal, anything that could be used in war, I collect in that and I getting ready. Because my prime minister says it's time to defend our country. And that moment for me summed up, like that sort of galvanized and helped me pull together all my ideas about what it meant to not just be Bahamian, that's a part of it, right? But what it meant to be a part of a country, a part of a collective, right? What it meant to belong and what is required of you, right? What are your obligations to the whole that you belong to? And sort of entrenched in me this fierce commitment or understanding that you have to commit to defending the things that are important to you. And I say that because I just had a little conversation with somebody and, you know, I wanted to explore the possibility that the Bahamas could be in the same situation that the Ukraine is in right now, right? Because what I see is what they call a proxy war, right? Like, it's two other countries fighting, but they can't fight each other certainly not in their own country. They're not going to take that risk. They're not there yet, their level of aggression. But they're fighting each other, just not in their own country. And there are all kinds of different types of engagement, militaristic, strategic, invasive engagement. You see, the imperialist agenda is very, very strategic, successful. Three prongs of engagement. The first is cultural imperialism. There's no war. There are no embargoes. There's no money war, right? The larger culture will simply consume the smaller culture. And so when large imperialist states want to dominate you, they can occupy you with culture. They don't have to occupy you with economic policies or, you know, restrain you with economic policies or occupy you with military vehicles. They occupy you with culture. But when cultural imperialism is not successful, then they push forward onto step two, which is economic embargoes, right, and sanctions. And when step two no longer works, then they have to make the decision whether they go in to war. But see, this is what's going on in the Bahamas Monday. I just want to point out to people, I may be wrong, but I think it's worth examining. I think it's worth putting on the pinboard, right, as we have these conversations. Because we are not far off. We're not far off from Ukraine at all. At all, at all. So while we stand and we sympathize with Ukraine, let's remember that we could be Ukraine in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. All right, so let's get into on this week's episode of The Bahamas. Well, next week is International Women's Day. And so leading up to that day, March 8th, we're going to be talking about some things, women, all things concerned about eliminating discrimination and violence against women. Today, I want to talk about marital rape. In particular, I wanted to ask people's opinions on it. I know we've been talking about it, and that's a good thing. I haven't been talking about it because other people have been talking about it, and that's a good thing. We don't all need to talk about the same things the same time. But I see it's in The Guardian today. If you pick up The Guardian on page 4, the editorial is titled Government Struggles with Gender Equality. And there's an very, very interesting letter to the editor entitled Women's Groups Unite Against Gender-Based Violence. And one of the things that these women groups are calling for is shelters, accessible shelters for the growing number of abused women and children who need an immediate change of environment in the face of life-threatening violence. So we'll talk about that a little bit. I want to know, how do you feel? Call. It's a safe environment. It's a safe environment. But if you don't feel, you know, comfortable expressing your opinions or having a debate on air, send me a text. Let me know how you feel. I think people have interesting and nuanced responses to the issue of marital rape that they don't necessarily get to share because the spaces that we create for these conversations are very polarizing and can make people feel like they're going to get beat up, marginalized, victimized, or shamed for holding the positions they hold. But I also want to talk about this shelter issue. I think it's very important. And I think that this is something that we, the Bahamian people, can sort of take on without waiting on or relying on the government to take the lead. And as I look at this long list of women's organizations who have endorsed this letter in today's Guardian, I want to say to them, women, women's groups, men and women concerned with women's advocacy, looking at this list, we have all the things that we need right now to not just create a shelter, but to create a shelter system with multiple shelters, multiple parts in New Providence and on family islands, and for multiple purposes. We'll talk about that in a moment. Call us. I come into you right now. Let me just go through the list. I'm not going to give any commentary. Just go through the list of the things to talk about this week. Marital rape, sex trafficking, gender-based violence and violence against women and girls, swimming pigs in Adelaide, the FNM convention and leadership race, FTX on everything, FTX again making a donation, this time pediatric masks to the school. I saw a story in last night's newscast, UB to change testing and vaccine policy, the government questioning or considering increasing the minimum wage, first meeting of CARICOM since 2019, and what are they going to talk about? We have to continue to talk about rising food costs and chain supply issues, and then the government considering scrapping the travel visa. And I want to talk about this because I'm still seeing stories of Bahamians and returning residents who are required to submit or to submit a travel visa or apply for one before returning home. Producer, let's go to that first call. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Erin.
Good morning. How you do?
Thank God for life as usual, and good morning to your listeners. Which one are you talking about? Homes, houses for women, or you talking about marital rape?
Which you want to talk about?
I just want to be on the same thing with you.
I'm talking about all of those things today, but the two of them, look here, the two of them are linked, you know, because if we had more shelters and temporary housing options available for people that were easily accessible, then what you would find is that people would take temporary space to calm down. We'd find that a woman who is concerned, right?
I could even save lives.
Right. A woman who is concerned that things ain't going right, or look here, this might look like, you know what? I'm getting the sense that this behavior is going to escalate. She don't have to wait for it to escalate. She could go to the shelter.
I think we need our housing for men and for women. But since we're talking about women, men go through it or they're too.
Hold on.
Huh?
It's both. The need is equally urgent.
I didn't hear you say it for both. I thought you would just say for women.
Yeah, no. But I'm saying to you now that the need is equally urgent, you know.
And I am agreeing with you.
Yes.
That's what I call in to say that, you know, we need it for men too. But with the women part, what we call low-cost home, a lot of people going through a lot of problems. I mean, since this COVID, where either houses was repossessed or taken away.
Mm-hmm.
Government could help us out in this situation, help the women out in this situation, the men and the women, by maybe giving us some of these homes. We could, you know, get some sponsors, corporate Bahamas to help repair them if they need repairs. Then we get a lot of rich people. Some are Bahamian citizens. One or two own banks. One or two own web shops. Now, some of them married to females, the woman.
Mm-hmm.
The women need to take lead and say, honey, let's do this. We do all kinds of things to help people. We don't have to tell them we do it. You know, the web shop's wives. The wives of the web shops owners,
and
the wives of the one or two Bahamian bank owners,
yeah,
it's a small problem for them. Now with the marital rape thing, you ever thought this way? Like, I don't know, y'all who fight. I mean, the people who fight for it, and I think I kind of should agree that we could have that law because we don't know what's happening in these bedrooms. I agree that we should stay at the people's bedroom, but maybe some people might be getting take advantage, women and men.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the law is important and it's good. But what about divorce? You see your life in fear. You see the man or they're doing things, you don't know what he's bringing home.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just divorce? I understand that they feel like they've given up so much all their life. They put this in the home and all that. They can get this, take away that. What are you out of your home and you're in the grave?
No,
divorce. And then for some of us, I think it's better not to get married. But rape is rape. Keep up the good work, Aaron.
Yeah, dude, why are you going so quick? You made some good points there. Walk away. Saw a post online this weekend, a brother talking to other men. He's like, look here, boss, ain't nothing she could do. When she decide or when it appears to you as if you're never going to return to the state of sexual and physical intimacy that you once had, right? And you sitting there patiently doing the right thing, you're not begging. You're going to allow your woman to come in her own terms to decide when she will be ready to return to this state of union, right? And if you realize that it is unlikely that that's going to happen, you got to have a real conversation with her about the way forward, and you may have to divorce her. That is true. Now, the point that you made about why people don't just get divorced, see, that is the space in which we have to do more work. Not to say that we have to do work of convincing people that they just have to, you know, get divorced, but to understanding the dynamics, the socialization, the cultural entrenchment and understanding that leads people to not get divorced or to not leave in these instances. The first is, if you're a Roman Catholic, you ain't supposed to get divorced. Roman Catholics believe that it was a mortal sin, but you will go to hell if you get divorced. So this idea that we think, for some of us think, is so simple, just divorce him, just leave him. You are asking people to turn away from their faith, from their relationship with their God, right? And so we have to go into those spaces, not to convince people to turn away from their faith or from their God, but to help people devise strategies that can work for them. Another thing is, some people, like, so in that instance, a person may want the relationship to be over, but has decided that they can't do that because their faith tells them. In other instances, people don't want to get divorced. They really believe in this thing, right? And so in that instance, what we can do is we can show them models of people who recover. We can show them models of people who love each other but can't live together, can't work together, and that once they've divorced, they actually develop better relationships. And it's not to say that they develop a better sexual or, you know, intimate relationship, but maybe the actual working relationship, the parental relationship, the co-parenting experience becomes better. Right? And so we got to get into these spaces and have conversations that can broaden people's perspectives and sometimes broaden our own and help them make better decisions for themselves. And text, morning, Aaron, great show. As usual, is it right for any woman to rape a man if she demands her things and the man is tired or weary after working hard all week and not allowed to rest? Babylon have y'all man them stress out, then engaged in activities, but rape is rape when forced, from the mayor of Grand Bahama. Now, listen, this rape, any legislation that deals with rape should be gender neutral. It should recognize that men can also be raped. Men can also be victims of rape. I'm going to have to bring in a biologist. I will have to bring in a biologist to talk about this. But we also know that men can say no, and their body will still have a physiological response of arousal, which makes the experience of rape is always horrific. But imagine you sitting in your body, and the same thing happens for women too. You're sitting in your body, you've said no. You've made it clear that you're not interested, but your body responds in the opposite and shows arousal. And the person, the woman or man, rapes you anyway. Yes, men can be victims and are victims of rape. The marital rape law, if enacted, men will also be able to use it. And men should be able to use it. Kermit, let's go to the phone line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Ian. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, man. Good morning, Bahamas. I see you multitasking this morning, eh?
Yeah, man. There's so many things going on in the Bahamas.
Okay, now, let me get myself in trouble first. You know, okay. Man, I'm, you see, I am a man to do plenty of reading.
Mm-hmm.
I get my smartphone to learn things to Google.
Mm-hmm.
When those same points and points were so-called white nations was bombing Saddam Hussein and Gaddafi them,
mm-hmm.
anybody say nothing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
America, the first country in the world in modern history, I know drop an H-bomb on a nation called Japan. Germany killed a lot of people, 5 million Jews. Spain was occupied, France, Dutch, all these nations, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But why so mind-boggling? I see, and many people like talk. We have some issues in this country that need to be fixed right now. I ain't wearing them, you know, because they ain't wearing but us. They don't know me. The Korean don't know us, you know. The Korean trade don't know us. See, we need to focus on building houses for our people to get in.
Mm-hmm.
They lock up behemoth persons. Lock up my brothers and sisters. Homeless people ain't got no place to put them away in.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kind of things that we need to focus on. We need to focus on discriminating against us men. We can't go and casino and gamble. I can't go get like a handgun and protect my business and protect my family. I can go on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of bad management in this country from both the FNMs and PLPs. That's why I keep telling you all the most two people they need to get out of the way. They can do so much disservice to me. My children can't afford to be to land on an island who problems where they born.
Mm-hmm.
When I graduated from school, land and Nassau was costing $1,500. So it'd be $3,000.
Yeah.
Kuala Lumpur, $8,000. You try to buy a piece of land there now. And you'd be surprised to know these greedy people in this country. See, they need to stop. See, many people be a bunch of mold murderers. All these people talk. And talk in the wrong foolishness.
Yeah.
I sold large lands on a man, put them kids back in school and face-to-face learning. I know some teachers say, bring the kids to school every day. They are the future.
Yeah.
These ones who they're the 15, 16, 17, they done lost, man. I don't even want to talk to them. They finish.
Keep trying to talk to them, man.
You save us.
Keep trying. I know, we do. We need it. And they need it. They need it.
And one more thing before I go in is that I'll bet you a case of bear. If they pass this model rape laws in this country, we will have the world's largest divorce rate in the history of the bomb. And thanks for my call, my friend.
Absolutely. Well, maybe that's what we need. Maybe that's what we need. Now, when saying that, actually, what we need is a focus on premarital counseling. Like you say, we need to focus on ourselves. What is the environment that we create? I can tell you how the caller before you, and I tell him, look, this marital rape, the gender-based violence is linked to the shelters and housing issue. The same thing here. These issues are all linked together, and we got to focus on us. Let's get to that next caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing, Sparky?
Sparky, yeah. Can I get that WhatsApp group number from you again, please, ma'am?
Yeah, man, absolutely. The number is 1-242-428-0719.
Yeah, I asked that because the last time I called in, I was told by your producer that you don't want me to call your show no more. I don't know why that happened, but I'll just deal with you on the WhatsApp. I don't know why you said you didn't want me to call
your
show.
That is a miscommunication, Sparky. That's a miscommunication. I'm going to talk to the producers and the team and see what's going on. But I didn't say that. I think it's a miscommunication. You don't watch nothing. You still there?
And you had one.
Pardon?
I know me and Mr. McCartney had an issue, but I didn't know that you and I had one. So
No.
But you know, I'm more like Muhammad Ali. If just because the leader say we go into war, I would like to know what I go into war for. If I'm going to war to protect my country, for example, if the Cubans decided that they're going to invade the Bahamas, then I need to go. What are we going to war for? But I would like my leader to go to war with me. I don't want him to sit up in his palace out in Skyline Drive or up there on the top floor and have a party around the pool every day while I and some fellas going out to protect him and his friends, families, and lovers. If they want me to go to war, you put your gun on your shoulder and your helmet, give me my gun and my helmet, let's walk together.
Absolutely.
Ain't no leader sending me to war while he's in the palace, like the queen and president, having a party. Not that. I like Muhammad Ali. If you ain't doing me, not what I can fight you for.
Thank
have
you.
Have a good day.
Thank you, Sparky. Thank you. You know, one of heartwarming, it brought tears to my eyes. When China took back Hong Kong, you know, once the 100-year lease to Great Britain was finished, and as a process of reclaiming Hong Kong was taking place, tons of thousands of Hong Kong residents, students, advocates were protesting and is still protesting. It's still an unsettled situation, no doubt, in Hong Kong. But what happened is the older generations of Hong Kong people, residents, stood up and joined the young people and stood in front of the young people. Said, we're going to join you. Not only are we going to join you in this battle, but you have a life to live. And we have lived our lives already. And so we come to stand with you to protect your future. And you know, after Fukushima, hundreds and hundreds of elderly Japanese people came together and said, look, we're prepared to go in to these areas to do the work, the cleanup work, because young people, you all have your lives to live. And we've lived our lives. And so, you know, we're willing to do this for you. And so to the old men that send young men and boys to war and young women and girls to war, put on your tennis. Pick up your beer bottles and your conch shells. Because in the Bahamas, we ain't sending nobody cheering to war and ain't going to fight over them. In front of them, before them. They're not my generation of Bahamians. If we go to war, we gain with you. Anyway, let me get to these. Let me get to this phone. Caller, you're on the clock. Still there, caller?
Erin, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Doing great. Enjoying this conversation. Erin, marital rape law. Let me try to put a couple things into context here so the wider public perhaps can also join the conversation. Mm-hmm. It seems that it is relatively accepted that it is easier to get married than to get divorced in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that persons intend to venture towards divorce once they get married. Unfortunately, that seems to be a side effect when you have persons entering marriage who are only there for richer, for health, and the other positive stuff. But when the negative stuff comes around, all of a sudden they can't accept it and they want a way out.
Mm-hmm.
There are many persons here, I believe, in these marriages, in many marriages, who would like to get out, but the laws on the books do not allow them an easy avenue to get out of some of these marriages. For instance, I know for quite some time many persons have been asking whether the law irreconcilable differences could be passed in our jurisdiction. However, it seems as if no court, no judiciary wants to even consider or pick that up, to include it into the act, whereas if a person has irreconcilable differences with their spouse, that they can easily get out of their marriage.
Yeah.
You know, and in essence, what I'm saying is I think there's a lot of work that has to also be taken in consideration as it regards to the current laws that regards marriages in this country. They're not being addressed. And I think until that time comes, this marital rape that they intend, law that they intend or want to implement, I think it's going to be a bone of contention for many persons, especially the men. Because right now, in closing, let's look at the laws on the books right now. Many of them, or the majority of these laws, are pre-1973, mm-hmm. 1967. There's been no true amendment or updates to any of our laws, really in our Constitution or on the books.
Mm-hmm.
And until we get serious about these things, then don't expect the general public to really buy in to what it is, because a lot of men today, and closing on my last point, a lot of men feel that a lot of the laws on the books really is an affront for, you're talking about justice for men? There's no true justice for men. Everything is skewed either to the women or to children. And thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Look here, there's plenty to agree with and plenty to agree with and some to disagree with, and that's always a good thing. The most important thing is this: we need to create a space to talk about the laws and the issues that they attempt to govern and how we feel and how our socialization around these issues have changed. Because look here, you so right and sometimes I so wrong. We got to keep this conversation going on. And right after the break, I'm going to get to these texts, a lot of texts. I'm going to get to them. So stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We believe in relationship banking. We take pride in getting to know our clients. You have access to knowledgeable, approachable ambassadors and financial coaches so that we can recommend the best product for you. At Fidelity, we care about you. From your financial health to your physical health, we can relate to you because we're just like you. come and start your relationship banking experience with us today. Visit us online at fidelitygroup.com, visit any of our branches in Nassau or Grand Bahama, or phone 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 for Freeport.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Listen, put your flag in the air. Tell your neighbor my country is the best. Yes, yes. Today is a holiday. Work on from Monday to Friday. I come here to party off my stress. Yes. So haters move to the
good
left.
Morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Boy, producer, that's a good one. Because if you know, the first song I was going to pick to play for today was KBI's The Bohemian. Boy, look here. Thank you. Thank you. So, I got a bunch of texts. Now, I asked for this conversation. We're going to have it. People, some of these texts may upset you. They may trigger you. And if they do, I want to apologize. I will attempt to moderate anything I think is, you know, wild or inappropriate in the sense that it could trigger people. Because what we do know is that one in every three women experience rape or sexual assault in their lifetime. That's one out of every three women, right? Whether we want to talk about it or not, we know that we have an abnormally high or unusually high rate or rate of child sex abuse and molestation. We also know that what we experience in the Bahamas is a high rate of what they call it. It's like when you are introduced to sex too early, right? And in inappropriate ways. So you're not introduced to sex in an age-appropriate, approved syllabus class in school or with an age-appropriate lesson with your parents. Right, you learn about it because you found some magazines or you found a channel on the TV that you wasn't supposed to be watching. Now, I'm going to read one of those texts here, and it just simply says, Aaron, in the middle, I told him, no, stop. He said, he don't understand what I'm trying to say. What can I do? Well, what you could do is understand this. The common law says, when I think the question was raised, the act itself is of such a nature that people tend to sort of be in another state, right? And you don't necessarily, so when you say stop, they may not catch on right away to what you're saying. And so what the common law said was that in the instance that you say stop, then the man has a moment to, quote unquote, catch himself. I think the terminology that they use is, if you say stop, the man is expected to catch himself within a couple of seconds. So he may penetrate one more time. And then at that point, he should understand that it's finished. You've had time to catch yourself and understand what's saying. Something has dramatically changed in the engagement, and you need to stop. Now, I'm thinking a mature, emotionally intelligent person would want to stop to determine whether their partner is enjoying the experience or no longer enjoying the experience so that they can then adjust their behavior. That's what I think that sensible, adult, mature, healthy people do. So if you're in the midst of the act and you say stop and he say he don't understand, tell him he understood enough to respond. So stop. And then what you do is you say, look, I'm sorry. Something happened. I was triggered. I think the best way to something that people are sympathetic with is, I don't know what happened, but I was triggered by a childhood memory and I can't go on anymore. A reasonable person should understand that, you know, you're not trying to hurt their feelings or punish them in any way. But the moment is just too uncomfortable, painful, or psychologically triggering to continue. Another text here. Good morning. So DeWitt and others would say the man may be out there bringing some disease or whatever home to the woman. What about the woman doing the same thing and then one jump on the man, have relationship against his will? Okay. For most advocates, for the vast majority of advocates doing this work, this marital rape law and discussion applies to both the husband and the wife. Right? It applies to both the male and the female in the relationship. This is not about, it's not an attempt to just destroy men. We also recognize that men can be victims as well. Another text. No, caller, you got the number incorrect. It is 428-0719. 428-0719. You transpose the one with a four. That's okay. Try again. Try again. Text here says, yes, Roman Catholics do not believe in divorce. Thus, we must pray to Almighty God for a lifetime mate, and Jehovah God will answer. Be patient, and Jehovah God will provide and continue to seek God from the mayor of Grand Bahama. Another text, Ms. Green, FNM, 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 or nothing, FNM, FNM. Buddy, today was almost going to be a FNM convention and leadership race discussion and nothing else. The FNM has completed the leadership transition process. I'm hoping to see a publication of the full results so that the FNM could begin to shift their internal party culture and better align with the culture of honesty, accountability, and transparency that they promised to govern on in their 2017 administration. That would be great. Also, a little birdie told me that the viewership for the FNM race online seemed to be low, and it leads me to ask the question, of the new board. Y'all looking little Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr.-ish. What is the new mandate for the FNM? What is the idea that will drive the party into the future and potentially into the helm, into the leadership of the country again? These are things that we need to know, particularly with the two stories in today's Guardian, and there's similar stories in the Tribune, but check out the Guardian story. Pintard apologizes for bad decisions of former government. Except in this article, I don't think I actually read you listing anything that you actually, like list something, tell us an actual thing that you apologizing for so we could continue the conversation and the FNM in its new iteration can help lead us to clarity and to the future. Where is the Oban file? What happened there? Why did y'all decide not to tell us anything? Where is Bobo and Togi? Who is selling fish to the FNM now? What happened to the BPL fire investigation report? Where is it? I'd like to see all the reports detailing how Focal went from supplier of fuel to supplier of equipment to generate electricity. All of these things require answers. I still need an answer to the questions that the old BPL board refused to answer, and the new BPL board refused to answer, and the new BPL board will probably refuse to acknowledge even existed. Who are the Legends of Doom? Who is the group of people, of laborers at BPL? In fact, why y'all didn't tell us that BPL had a social club? Who's responsible for the oil leak at Clifton Pier? That's just a short list. That's just a short list. I didn't want to raise my blood pressure this weekend by creating an exhaustive list of questions that the former administration are required to answer. But I got an important question that I think everybody requires an answer to. How? Who hired Omar Archer to be the registrar of contractors? And why? And how is it that he could keep his position after revealing a co-worker or a supervisor's directions to their home in an aggressive and combative voicemail note to the general public? We still need an answer to what's going on with BPL. BTC. I don't care who sold it. I don't care who sold it. We still need an answer to that. There's just so many things that you have to answer to before we could accept your apology, Mr. Pintard. I don't think I have enough time, but there was one eloquent piece of writing here. I'd like to call it political rhetoric. It was just so pretty and beautiful. You could find it in today's Guardian. Pintard is quoted, "We made some decisions that resonate in entirely the wrong way." One thing I will say, sir, that is some prime ministerial rhetoric right there. And you are well on your way to dragging the past into the future to maintain the comfort level of mediocre politicians. You well on your way. You doing a good job. Because right below those two stories, Auditor General still reviewing pandemic spending. We don't know anything about the investigation into the abuse that was documented and ignored by those in charge in one of the children's homes. We still ain't get a review, nothing on that yet. And the list goes on. Got a text there. "Good morning. With this marriage rape situation, please speak to the false report on rape report and address the men who went to prison on false rape reports." Okay, so we also need to look at the data, right? We need to look and compare the number of married men who would have been charged with rape and gone and been convicted and claiming that they're innocent, and the number of unmarried men. And we need to assess both of those numbers we have a problem with married women claiming that their husbands raped them, or if we have a problem generally with the way that we engage these issues. And then, most of all, I tell you, then we have to sit down and ask ourselves, how is it that we have come to this state where it appears on the surface, or it seems as if the laws disproportionately or unfairly advantage women in these instances? Because what we may find is that the law has attempted to right a wrong, but that wrong no longer exists. And so the law needs to be rewritten. It's the same way that we only charging people $10,000 for killing a whole human, right? And like the story where a driver was only charged $400 for killing a young Haitian child on the side of the road. Text goes on to say, in the same new rape bill, why they don't remove the law where when a man marry a woman, please demand them to move the mandatory woman entitled to half of the man's assets. Boy, boy, boy. I'm married. So I can't give my opinion on that one, but that's something that y'all men and women who intend to marry each other need to talk about. Are you able to get a prenup in the Bahamas? Are you able to get a prenup? Text says, tell that obviously ignorant texter to add some words to his vocab or text other than three letters, F and M. You are very limited. Teach us something. Another text, Green, you're so right. What are they apologizing for? Stop being so vague and superficial and be specific, bold, transparent, accountable, and truly sincere. And first proof is if they change for better and serve and govern the Bahamas again. Right? It's like Prime Minister's statements over the last few days in reference to gender-based violence and marital rape. Yes, everybody thinks that it's a problem. Everybody thinks it's a serious issue that has to be dealt with, but nobody will pass a law. It's the same way that everybody and their mother thinks that we need shelters, but nobody will put the money together for the blocks. That's my music. I gotta go. I wish I had time for you to play that song I started with, Kermit. We're all out of time. Remember, take care of each other. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. Guardian Radio AM is up next.